Want to know one of my favorite sounds? Here it is. That's the sound I hear when I'm learning a new language with Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language, I guarantee it'll be one of your new favorite sounds too. Be a better you with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you have learned in the real world. I absolutely love using Babbel. Their convenient courses have helped both me and my husband learn real-life conversation skills in a different language. He's learning Swedish, of course, and I've been trying my hand at French again. It is so easy to learn how to order food, how to ask for directions, speak to merchants, and all without having to consult language apps while on vacation, or in my husband's case, living here in Sweden with me. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off of your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, at babbel.com/yoga. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/yoga, spelled babbel.com/yoga. Rules and restrictions may apply. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. I am speaking to you right now from coming out of the end of a couple of consecutively just very emotional and raw days. I'm having one of those days today where I feel like I'm kind of regaining my balance a little bit or gathering myself again after what's been just a very intense and hard and overwhelming week in the middle of an intense and hard and overwhelming month. So I am curled up in my little podcast chair, managed to get my recorder starting today. I had a moment where I thought I broke my podcast recorder, which for me would be disastrous, but I didn't, and I'm here, and I have this perfect little 1 hour window right now to share and to talk to you before I go pick Leia up from preschool. And I don't know where to start, to be honest. I've had one of those weeks where, I mean, we've all had one of these months, because there's just so much going on everywhere, and it's a lot of pain palpable and felt in this world. And I've had a particularly challenging couple of days just now, and I'm kind of coming out on the other end of that. So I'm feeling a little bit raw and a little bit unsteady and all over the place. So before we dive in, how about we take a moment to ground? So wherever you are, if you want to close your eyes, close your eyes. If it serves you better in this moment to keep them open, just soften your gaze a little bit and find a spot somewhere in front of you for your gaze to rest at. And let's take a few deep, slow breaths together. Breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out. And continuing this at your own pace, finding your own rhythm of breath, just breathing in and out through the nose right now. And give yourself a bit of space, a bit of time, so you can actually sense how you are feeling right now. How you are doing right now. And you can do this just checking in with your body, you know, physically. How are you feeling? What do you have going on in your body today? What does it feel like in your body to sit here breathing in this way today? What do you have going on? Are you energized or tired? Are you feeling overwhelmed or numb? Are you content or anxious? Do you feel pain anywhere in your body? Do you feel spacious and alive and good? No wrong way to answer this question, right? Just checking in with yourself, with your body. How are you doing? And whatever comes up from there, oftentimes our minds like to attach a thing to that, especially if the thing that we're, or the emotion that we're experiencing, or the feeling that we're sitting with isn't comfortable. Our mind likes to say or go, okay, so let's fix that. What can I do to feel better, to feel different, to turn this around? Maybe your mind tells you, oh, I should, you know, go for a walk or do this or do that or clean the house. Or sometimes the mind says, oh, if you just like quit your job or lose some weight or make a sweeping change in your life, you'll feel better. And of course, the remedy for whatever it is you are experiencing right in this moment is to give it a little bit of space, right? The remedy for the feeling is to allow the feeling, to process the feeling, to sit with the feeling to the extent that we can, right? And that's an important thing to remember. We're not always able to be with all of our emotion, right? Sometimes it's too much. Sometimes it's very overwhelming. So we invite in and allow and make space for what we can, little bits at a time. And of course, that also goes for joy, right? Gratitude, sense of contentment and well-being and balance. Whenever terrible things unfold in a very public way in the world, we sometimes feel like we have to damper our spirits, or we feel joy and then we feel guilt about the joy, and we minimize or hold back in our feelings of goodness in this world. It's important that we give space for both, right? Letting ourselves be totally, completely human. That when we're having a good day and the happy moment, that we give space for that happiness, that we allow ourselves that happiness. Minimizing our happiness doesn't serve anybody in this world. And of course, when grief shows up, we give the grief space too. So just taking a few more breaths here. Grounding into the body, staying very present in this practice of you allowing yourself to be the way you are. That's an important practice to have. If we're not living it embodied every day, it takes a lot, I think, to get to that place, that we have a steady practice of letting ourselves be. Letting ourselves feel, letting ourselves grow, letting ourselves be human. Let's take a cleansing breath here. So the fullest breath in you've taken all day long. Inhale in through the nose. Open the mouth and let something go. Hi. Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results, it increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Hi. I say that and I could cry, and I say that and I could laugh. This has been a week. Everyone, whoa. So, if I just begin with the thing that's, I guess, you know, I use this analogy a lot when we're holding a lot in our hearts, right? When our hearts are carrying a lot, when we've had a, you know, new information come our way, or we have a pain or a grief or something that we're holding there in the heart space. If we keep accumulating and we don't have the space to process, you know, or we don't have someone to talk to, or we don't have a way to release and to kind of unburden and someone to help us hold some space for everything we're carrying, eventually it gets too much, right? And the feeling oftentimes when our heart is holding too much, it's like we're stacking one thing on top of the other and the heart runs out of space. And where do things go? Well, they rise up into the throat, right? And we have whatever's weighing our hearts down, it starts to impact our ability to communicate. And it goes into the throat, and we can get this feeling of, you know, that feeling of choking up, that feeling of, oh, I can't contain this anymore. It's like the body's way to make us talk about the thing, to make us cry the tears that we're not crying. That feeling of heart rising up into the throat, I feel it so palpably right now. And I haven't had a shortage of tears, that I promise. But just that feeling of overwhelm and feeling of my heart just being heavy, just carrying and holding a lot. So yeah, the thing that is most rising from my heart into my throat right now is Dennis and I got some really hard and really scary news about a loved one, about family, and it's nothing I want to share on here in specifics, but just one of those things that comes your way and you kind of realize that nothing else really matters, right? And I've had that feeling all since the war in Ukraine started. This feeling like at the drop of a dime, everything can just change. This feeling of absolute fragility, that life really is so fragile, that this idea of order, you know, and things making sense isn't really real. It's something that I think a lot of us have been grappling with since the beginning of the pandemic, and it was so swift then, right? Because even though there's discord in the world, there's pain, there's things that shouldn't be happening, there's injustice, there's so much, right? But before the pandemic, I at least had some kind of semblance, like a feeling that felt like there's some structure here, right? Like this idea of some sort of world order, even though I know on a intimate level, like that's not really true. And a lot of this that we call order in terms of the systems and the governments and the laws put into place and the societal rules of what we're supposed to and not supposed to. Like, there's a lot of stuff there that doesn't work and that is bullshit. Like, we know that. And we see that with the injustice that is unfolding every single day. But at some big macro, super objective, kind of zoomed out level, I had this belief inside that there is order in the world somehow, like that there is this structure of like a container of safety in a sense, like on a grand scale, that we're going in the right direction, right? That somehow we are constantly evolving and things are getting better, right? Yeah, it was just this fundamental feeling of even though things can crumble and there can be chaos and there's injustice, like there is some sort of stability in the world, which of course was a huge illusion, right? Not at all true, but that's how I felt. Coming, of course, from a privileged place and having had a lot of stability as an adult and all of this, but I had that feeling just. And then overnight, or it felt very overnight, all of a sudden, the whole world felt unsafe, right? All of a sudden, everything coming our way was so scary. All of a sudden, everything that we knew as normal and as routine and as how we interact with each other as human beings and going to work and going to school and all of these things, everything just fell apart, right? Everything just fucking collapsed. And for me, it kind of, in a good way also, I think that it shattered that illusion of everything somehow at the end of the day is in order, right? Because, you know, it wasn't like the pandemic just on its own collapsed everything, but it really showed us how fragile these systems are, how fragile our society is, like how fragile health is also, you know, and this idea of safety. And I think this pandemic could have played out in different ways, right? But it really showed the existing weaknesses of the structure of these societies and these structures that we live in. And yeah, there hasn't been and still isn't healthcare for everyone. There hasn't been and still isn't justice for everyone. There's so much that's so fucked up in this world. And this pandemic kind of brought that to everybody's forefront. And since then, for me personally, just on an emotional level, I really have had this feeling like no one's going to look out for me. I just had that. Yeah, that whatever illusion that at the end of the day, everything's fine, was completely shattered for me in a way that I think was good at the end of it all, because it really shifted my view of the kind of life I want to create. And it shifted my view of the kind of service I want to provide and the kind of community I want to build. Like, it changed my way of thinking completely. And I'm grateful for that. But it was a really scary thing. It is a really scary thing. And it's still happening, right? To not know, or I guess to be faced with the unknown that's always been there. Because the truth is, we don't know. We live these cushy lives, right? Or most of us do. Many of us do, listening to this podcast, I know. And we have these kind of comfortable things going on where we go to work and pay bills and take care of our kids and deal with stuff. And it's just, we all have problems, but it's like manageable. Even the problems that feel really big and you know, huge at the big grand scheme of things, they're kind of manageable, right? So before the pandemic, I was dealing with burnout, and that was everything for me. That this burnout, this feeling of overwhelm, this feeling of I can't keep up, this feeling of illness and being sick, like it was everything. You know, everything, A to Z, it's like, how am I going to manage my life, right? And then I can look back at that now and realize like, okay, you know, that was, it felt like everything, but it was just a small part of me and how I interact with my own life, right? And the problems I had around that were always like things that felt really big and things that related to the business or an employee or me and Dennis bickering about something or issues I had with my mom and just life, right? These are the things that make up life. It's not all butterflies and rainbows and puppies and ice cream, right? It's like, it's real. And the pandemic and everything crumbling, I think brought me and I think brought a lot of us some perspective, right? And some gratitude for the normalcy that we have all been just longing to get back to. Like, how many months did I spend just yearning for those basic problems I was dealing with pre-pandemic, when I wasn't worried about our safety, when I wasn't worried about the world ending, when I wasn't worried about, like, are we going to be okay? When I wasn't worried about, is my daughter going to ever have a normal life? Are we going to have community? Are we going to hug again? I mean, these huge, major things. And I think a lot of us, we've kind of gotten used to this new world, right? Which is a world with less illusion, a world where it's very palpable that life is fragile, right? There's very little that's steady and secure. And we've all been looking for those things in our lives that make us feel more steady and more secure, ways to ground, ways to take care of our families, ways to build community in a really sustainable and connected way. A lot of us, all of us, we've changed our lives, right? We really have. And there has been some good, of course, coming out of this big shift. And some people will say, well, this is part of evolution, right? It's part of growth. This is what it's supposed to be. I have a hard time with those kinds of sweeping statements, you know, tell someone who's lost someone, like, this is what it was supposed to be. It's like the most insulting thing you could ever say. But I get that point of view too, that, like, at the end of the day, isn't it all growth, right? I don't think so. I mean, I feel a little bit cynical now, but I have, since the pandemic, really tried to cling to creating something that's going to feel normal. And I could cry sharing this. I mean, it's a very emotional week, but all of last year, right? It was March 15th of last year. I'm recording this. It's March 16th. So the anniversary of this was yesterday. We had to move out of our home, right? And we never returned. And started this journey of, you know, I'm not going to say homeless, because we still own our home and it still stands, right? But we entered this unbelievably uncertain time of losing more of our normalcy, right? Losing our foundation, losing our roots, losing our home and our day-to-day lives. Even though the walls of the house still stands and all of that, we're, you know, I'm not disregarding the privilege of that. Like, people lose much bigger things. Can you tell them? I feel this huge need to mention, I know how privileged I am, because I really have a hard time talking about my own problems when there's so much happening in the world and there's people who are losing so much more, right? And have lost so much more, and much more than I can ever wrap my head around. So I'm trying to keep this balance of sharing mine and also holding the whole. And a friend told me today, if she was here, she would have slapped me in the face. She was like, can you spend 5 seconds letting yourself have your issues without apologizing for them? Like, there's always going to be a war. There's always going to be famine. There's always going to be disease. There's always going to be pain. And it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to go through your own personal stuff. And I know she's right. And I know, like, I have said the same things to friends. I've said the same things to you on this podcast. Like, our day-to-day stuff still matter, right? And then I said at the beginning of the show, like, who do we serve by minimizing our happiness or minimizing our wounds? I know. But I really am having a hard time finding balance here. I really, really, really do. Especially, you know, like having people fleeing war, like in my house right now, or having conversations with people now who are dealing with family members they haven't reached for days. Like, I had that conversation 5 minutes ago before I came here. There's just so much more, right? And it's really present. Anyway, now I'm rambling. I'm sorry. What is your favorite food? I think I can honestly say mine is bread. Now I'm craving my warm sourdough bread with some butter and salt on top. It's honestly the perfect thing to eat. But I'm also realistic, and I know for many of you out there, the carb feel might be real. It is too bad that carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. That's why Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They have remade carby empty calorie bread products into fluffy healthy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, plus protein and fiber. And let me tell you, their products taste amazing. The other day, Dennis and Leah and I were making some grilled cheese sandwiches, and that would be a perfect place to swap in Hero Bread. I am very mindful when it comes to what my daughter eats, and I love that this bread helps you get enough fiber and adds more protein to your diet while cutting down on the sugar. Hero Bread is not only delicious and flavorful, there's something for every craving, including sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas. So don't give up on being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use the code YOGAGIRL at checkout. That's YOGAGIRL at HERO.co. I realized this week that, you know, it was the anniversary of us going through this thing, which was for us absolutely a trauma, right? Which was this super scary thing, and it kicked off the hardest time in mine and Dennis's relationship, and the hardest time as a parent, and the most uncertainty we've ever had. And that was a year into an existing pandemic. I mean, it was uncertainty upon uncertainty. And what really got me through, especially the end of last year, when it just got too much and I realized, okay, this is it, we need to make a change. Part of me wanting to make that big, big change was because I wanted to create a safer life, right? I had that big experience of, if this shit falls apart, no one's going to take care of us. We lived on a tiny island that is completely incapable of supporting itself, with a government that doesn't actually fully know how to support its people, where, like, if there's no import of goods for a week, like, everyone will starve. That's just the reality. It sounds really harsh, but it's just the reality. And it's the reality for a lot of places in this world. Very few places are self-sustaining, self-supporting. It's like another, you know, like shining the flashlight on another existing weakness and flaw in these capitalistic systems that we have created. Or it's like, if it wasn't all about fucking trade and money, right? If it was about community and taking care of our people, we wouldn't have countries that completely export all of their most valuable things to put all of those assets into pockets of billionaire corporations and then re-import like bullshit fast foods and things that make people sick and then have people slave away at minimum wage to try to make ends meet. It's like, it's... okay, this is driving me crazy even thinking about this. But so there is a scenario where Aruba as a tiny island could support itself 100%. You know, there is a version of that, of the island, where there's farming and farmers markets and sustainable farming practices that can actually feed the people. And especially in an isolated community where there's really a small limit of people that you need to take care of. Like, it's totally possible the island could be self-sustaining, but there's no capitalistic gain from doing that, right? So it's not happening. And I had that big realization of like, okay, whatever ends the world, whatever next crisis comes, if it's this pandemic or the next pandemic or a fucking world war or natural disaster, there's more of them every year. I started thinking in this way, right? We are not going to be able to take care of ourselves, and no one else is going to take care of ourselves either. So part of wanting to move off the island was wanting to create a safer life, right? And I wasn't talking about that a ton, but it's kind of what drives me in a way that, you know, I want to be self-sustaining and as much as I can and grow my own foods as much as I can, because it brings me joy and it puts me in contact and connection with the earth. And it's healing for me and helpful for me, but also it's the logistics of feeding my family, right? There is a component of calm and safety to that, that knowing if there's no more food on the shelves of the grocery store tomorrow, like I know what to do, right? I want to get back to something more ancestral and more authentic. And if all of a sudden here the world opens up this huge thing where you can't really live here anymore, or you have to decide, do you want to make an effort to stay here? No. So we chose Sweden. And all of last year, you know, I was envisioning this place, this little house where we are on this land by the water, and all the things I'm going to grow and the peace. I'm envisioning this huge, well-stocked pantry filled with like foods that I have grown, you know, filled with food that I was able to grow from seed. To, I'm envisioning this like very earthy, circular, like, oh, this life. and this feeling of we're so safe here, right? And we get to Sweden and we get fucking 5 minutes, literally 5 minutes. We got to Sweden and Sweden escalated immediately. COVID was the worst it has ever been. No one could go anywhere, no cinemas, no gathering. You know, all that stuff started back up after 2 years of it with this panicky feeling of, oh my God, it's bad, it's bad, it's bad. And then as quickly as that happened, that just went away and they decided, actually, it's not bad. You know, a lot of this is also like the information that we take to heart. Like 2 months later, they suddenly decide this is not an illness that's dangerous to society anymore. So they de-escalated it. And in Sweden, it's not called a pandemic. It's just a flu now. So all of a sudden, no passports, no this, no regulation. All the cinemas open. You can gather. Concerts are back. And it really felt like, just because of how swiftly that happened, like someone just decided that, right? Like, I don't know what to trust, really. And I had this feeling of like, oh, like, I need this reiteration of like, I need to just stay really close to my own family and to nature and to my own heart and listen here, right? I can't take in all the information I get from these outside entities because I don't know how much I can trust this shit coming my way. How can it be true that in December, they're basically saying we're all going to die and stay the fuck home, and in February, go party? I mean, it's really hard for me to put my trust in the people making those decisions, right? And I think, you know, I know everyone's doing their best and this is not easy to navigate, but there was just, again, this feeling of like uncertainty and kind of like, who's really in charge, you know? And do they really know what the fuck they're doing? I don't know. And then they took all the restrictions away and it was like, oh my God, well, okay, we can travel again. We can like, I immediately took Leia like to the museum again and like we had a party for her birthday. Like things we wouldn't have planned. Like all of that is just fine now. And 5 minutes of that we had. And then now there's a war next door and everyone I know is like stockpiling goods and preparing for the worst, and everyone knows where the closest like bunker is to their home. We don't have one close to us. And all conversations are, you know, how can we help people fleeing this war-torn country? Is the war going to come really close to us? NATO this or NATO not? You know, what is Putin really going to do? And if they were to blow up one of these nuclear facilities, what would happen to us? What would happen to them? It's a next level conversation around how nothing is safe, right? No one's safe. No one's safe. And at the same time, I know I have a nervous system that's really sensitive to these things. And I mean, we all do. We all do. Oh my God. But I also have a very empathic side where it's near impossible for me to take in and listen to other people's suffering and not like take it on almost, right? And we're all doing this and to a certain extent. We're all reading these news. We're all getting this information. We're all grappling with the fucked up challenge of, I mean, I was reading this big article yesterday about, I didn't know, but that there are refugees from other countries that aren't allowed to enter the very same countries that are now opening their doors to every single person from Ukraine, to the extent of like people have died freezing to death in the wintertime because they were hiding and they didn't get asylum. And it's like, how are we doing this to some people and then opening the doors like wide to other people? I can't. It's like the injustice is wrapped up in another injustice, and this suffering, which is so valid, and we need to help these people and take care of them. And also like that somehow is contrasting to other people's suffering who have the same right to be held and taken care of and accepted and welcomed. And it's all so fucked up. I know I started this podcast saying, wow, but like this, it's all so fucked up. Okay. It's all fucked up. There was fucked up shit before the pandemic. The pandemic kind of fucked us all up. Now there is war and it's just, everything is linked to more fuckery. And I think for so many of us, it's like, we just want peace. you know? We just want peace for everyone. I just want, like, my heart just breaks, you know? I want everyone in this world to be free from harm and safe and good, right? I mean, we all want that so badly. Yet somehow this world is so far from that. And it feels like to me, like it's getting further from that every fucking week. Every week there's another something, you know? And I'm starting to experience this discord, right? On a cellular level, where all of a sudden, like especially over these past few days, I haven't known what to do anymore. You know, like last week, I really felt like if I keep helping people to the extent that I can, you know, I keep doing my best to find housing, to find support groups, to donate goods, to donate money, to talk to people, to link people, to help, to be there with a helping hand. And I do that and I do all of my self-care stuff, right? Like that's the way. And then this week, I don't feel that way at all. I mean, I need to continue those things, obviously, the service and the self-care. It's like it's all we can do right now, and it's what we should be doing now. But I somehow, yeah, in the middle of all of this, we got these really, really, really scary news about a family member. And it's not related to the pandemic, right? And it's not related to this war. And it's just one of those regular human moments of suffering that people experience that I kind of have forgotten exist too, right? It's almost this feeling like the world is really fragile. Our safety is really fragile. There's so much pain and suffering everywhere on this grand scale. And then all of a sudden we had something just very personal happen. And I kind of forgot about that, you know, like I forgot, even though I've experienced it so many times, like I kind of forgot that there's also like the car accidents and the illnesses and the separations and the divorces and the diseases and the loss of like on a regular individual level. Like I kind of forgot that those things still happen the same way they did before. And then now, yeah, something arrived really close to us. And it's kind of like it brought my feeling of discord and unsafety, you know, from a really global holy shit scale to like right home, you know. And I don't know what to do with it. Mothers deserve the absolute best. So this Mother's Day, spoil the moms in your life with little luxuries from Osea. Osea's skin and body care is the perfect way to remind all the moms, mother figures, caregivers, grandmothers, and mother-in-laws in your life to make time for themselves. If you have been looking for the perfect gift, I recommend Osea's Andaria Algae Body Oil. I've been using it for years, and it seems like every single time I apply it, I get compliments on my skin. This body oil is rich, but it's never greasy, and it's clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity. Your skin will feel more sculpted and toned, and you'll be left feeling silky, soft, and glowing. Another favorite of mine is the Andaria Collagen Body Lotion. Ever since I've been using collagen, I have noticed a difference in my skin. In fact, it's never been better. Using Osea's body oil and lotion together is a mega moisture duo, giving you a full body glow. Osea's products are infused with their signature Andaria seaweed, but it's also clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified. Really just a perfect gift for yourself, the moms in your life, and even the planet. Spoil the moms in your life with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with the code YOGA at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to oseamalibu.com and use the code YOGA for 10% off. And it's funny. I mean, not funny. None of this is funny, but it's funny because it is kind of funny. I'm recording this. It's Wednesday. On Sunday, our home course begins. Which I know is, you know, the embodiment of service and self-care wrapped up into one with all the tools I have. It's like I put all the tools I have, all the practices I have, everything that brings me back home, I put in a little box and I tied a bow around it. And it's like, now I get to share this and I'm so grateful for it. And a year ago, I mean, over a year ago, I created this course and I've been thinking about this day, right? March 20th, it's spring equinox, the first live, which officially opens the circle for us all. I've been thinking about this day every day for over a year, every single day. I've been getting closer and closer and closer to March 20th, which has been this defining, you know, for so long. It's like we finally start and I've been longing for this day and waiting for this day and been so excited for this day. And I've had this idea, and it is funny, I've had this idea in the back of my head that March is going to be the most peaceful month of my life. I had this vision that after a year of chaos or several years of chaos, I'm going to finally be like living on my land and with my garden and tending to the earth. And I envisioned myself kind of like I suddenly would have become this like housewife or homesteader wife that just wears an apron all day making sourdough loaves while Dennis goes to work. And I just cook and garden and that's it, right? I'm just with the land. And I've even had it in my calendar, like nothing comes up in March. Just March is just peace and grounding, like getting ready to hold space for this group. We're getting ready to meet these people and getting ready to start this journey. And it is funny because how fucking naive is that? And I know from experience, because I do this every time I embark on a big project or a big journey or a teacher training or something like that. It's like, oh, I'm going to be, here is what my life is going to be when I start that journey. And it's never that. Not once has it ever been what I put it in my head that I wanted it to be or that I thought it should be, right? There's always, right at the cusp of that important moment, something comes up. And usually it's the thing that softens my heart, right? It's the thing that cracks me open a little bit, that puts me right in that vulnerable space to be able to lead with an open heart so that I don't lead and guide from the idea of being on some pedestal or someone who knows or some bullshit, right? It's always something that cracks me just the perfect amount open. And at the end of it, after I finish the thing, I can always look back and see, oh, that hard thing that happened right before. It was so beautiful, right? And it was so perfect that that happened in that timing because thanks to that, I could be vulnerable enough to really guide. And I know that's what's happening now because March has been the most chaotic month. I mean, on a global scale and on a personal level, it's been so chaotic and really hard. Really, really, really hard. And it's not the peace and quiet of me sitting in my garden, doing nothing else, and then going down to lead my life from this zen, perfect, enlightened place. Like, no, there's fucking war and refugees and pain and suffering and people in our family deeply, deeply suffering and disconnect and injustice and what the fuck. Right? That's what it is. And I also recognize that if I was sitting here now about to step into this course and I was feeling complete enlightenment and peace and groundedness, that would mean I would be completely disconnected from everything happening in the world, right? It would mean literally I'm on a different planet. And I'm glad I'm not on a different planet because I'd rather be here with all of you going through these hard things than be alone somewhere else. I would rather be here feeling this much, holding hands with you who are listening now, holding hands with a circle on Sunday, holding hands with my family, holding hands with Ukraine, holding hands with everyone, than be up on some mountaintop, you know, totally disconnected. So I'm glad I'm a human being. I'm grateful to be a human being because I know I'm not alone.
I wish I knew what tomorrow would bring. I wish I had some grand piece of advice to leave you with. I absolutely don't. Just the next time your heart kind of swells to the point of everything rising up into your throat, you know, cry the tears that you need to cry. Say the words you need to say. Share and open up about the heavy, hard things. Because every time you do, you get reminded that you are not alone, right? And every person you share with and cry with, they get reminded that they are not alone. And it is our humanity that is our strength. It's our fragility and vulnerability that is our power. It is. It's not a weakness. It's not something to be ashamed of. It's not something to hide and tuck away, right? It's a goddamn blessing to be a feeling human being in this world. So hold your heart. Hold your heart. And I'll be back next week. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you enjoy the show, make sure you listen, rate, review, and follow all the episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you normally get your shows. And of course, a huge thank you to my sponsors. Make sure you support them the way they support this podcast. This was, as always, a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I'll see you next week.